Okay, let's get started this morning. If I can get some readers, Proverbs 3 through 4, Antonio, you'll get our main text. You can get Proverbs 3 and verse 3. And then Matthew 20, 25 through 28, Dwayne, if you'll get that.
Matthew 20, 25 through 28.
Proverbs 4, 23. And then Casey, if you get Luke 6, 45. Brian, if you'll get Proverbs 3 and verse 3, that'll be the second time. Steve, if you'll get John 3, 17. Nigel, if you get Proverbs 3 and verse 4. Okay, so in pastoring, there's going to be opportunities where you're going to preach to audiences that have a larger amount of unsaved people, right? As you build your church, if you're pioneering, the people that are coming to hear you are maybe people you've prayed with on the street, you're building relationship with, they're growing in the things of God. Maybe in a takeover, you're preaching to the established congregation and contending for visitors and fruitfulness, etc. But there will be opportunities where the audience has a larger amount of unsaved people, like weddings, right? You get family that's going to come in, maybe funerals. Someone asks if you can preach a service for a family member or a loved one or a friend who's passed away, and they don't have pastoral expression or a church home. And they'll ask you to do a service, baby dedications. Many times we'd get families and dedicating a granddaughter, a niece, a cousin, etc. These dedications draw family members, and then maybe even something like tonight, baptism, where people invite their friends or their family to come and see them get baptized. So how you approach these events can help you greatly, your success, your reputation, your influence in an area, or how you approach these can really hurt you as well, and can really impact negatively. You hear the horror stories of, this is a true story, a pastor who was preaching a wedding, and from the pulpit, two disruptive teens, he told them to shut up and listen. Tell you that's not going to help you, okay? Or another wedding where the pastor got up and knowing that the family was mostly Catholic, decided it was a good opportunity to bash the Catholic Church. Okay, those are not helpful. And so in the scripture we're going to look at this morning, it gives us keys to finding favorable ministry, right? Because that's what we want, is to have favor with people. And this gives us a clear understanding in how to approach this. So let's read our main text, Proverbs 3, 3 through 4.
Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man.
Okay, finding favor. Let's set a foundation. Let's think firstly about the heart attitude. Favorable ministry begins actually in you. It starts with a healthy heart attitude. Proverbs 3 and verse 3.
Never let loyalty and faithfulness leave you. Tie them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart.
Write them on the tablet of your heart. Get the right things written into you. This is where favorable ministry starts. See, the problem is some people have the wrong things written on their heart. So what do I mean by that is they'll go into a situation, like I said, those two examples that are not helpful. But why? Why would someone approach it like that? It could be, number one, because of their pride, right? In pride, I have the right answer. I have taken the higher road. I am in God's will. I am doing the work of God. So, right, that's pride written on the heart. Others, they approach things like this because of position. I'm going to tell you, if you are pursuing ministry, and I often remember Pastor Greg saying this as a disciple, if you're pursuing ministry so that you can be in charge, you're going to be very disappointed. Right? It's because it's not about a position. Pastoring and ministry, it's not a title, it's a function. Shepherding is a function. And so some people, when they get stuck on their position, I'm the pastor, I'm in charge, right? Shut up and listen. That's a wrong thing written on your heart. Others, they focus on their works. Because I'm doing a work, or because I've done certain things, right? This is the Pharisee that Jesus talked about, who went into the temple and prayed with himself. And so here, these are the things that have been written on the heart. They have the wrong things written, but our scripture tells us the right things. Write the right things on your heart, mercy and truth. So, mercy and truth. When you have a clear understanding of those two words, you understand it this way. By God's mercy, I am not reaping the truth of what I deserve. Right? How many understand we're saved by grace? This is not something we can earn. This is not something we can pay for. This is not something we can work for. What we all deserve is the wages of our sin, the payment of our sin. But Jesus Christ, right? That is the simple gospel. Paid in full for us, that is mercy and truth. So when you have a revelation of what you have received, right? When you catch a revelation of really the incredible privilege it is to live for God, to serve God, the incredible privilege it is to do a work for God. Right? Ministry is a privilege. Pastor Mitchell often would say from the pulpit at maybe a whatever arena or stage he was on, man, we get to do this for a living. Right? What an honor that it is to do a work for God. But that comes from having the right things written on your heart. Write mercy and truth on the tablet of your heart. So from this right heart, we'll have the right attitude towards people. See, the word ministry, which is part of what pastoring is, ministry means to serve or service. You're putting someone else above yourself. You're giving your life for the benefit of other people. And Jesus had this right. Right? Think about that. God in the flesh had this idea of mercy and truth. An approach to ministry, right? Matthew 20, 25 through 28.
But Jesus called them to himself and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, but those who are great exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many."
Okay, think about, you know, this statement, verse 28. The Son of Man, God in the flesh, did not come to be served. That's not why he came. That's not his purpose. Not right. And that messes with our minds. Because that's not how we approach things. And so here, I did not come to be served, but to serve. To give my life. That is the correct heart attitude that's going to give you favorable ministry. Is serving other people. Because when you have a correct perspective of yourself, when you have a correct perspective of service, when that's written on the tablet of your heart, it's going to flow into your interactions with people. It's going to flow into how you pastor. It's going to flow into how you follow up. It's going to flow in how you interact with people, with businesses, with, you know, the entire reputation of your church. Let's read Proverbs 4:23.
Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life.
Okay, here's a scripture that's talking about the right things on our heart. We need to keep our heart, watch over it, make sure the right things are in it. Why? Because from your heart is what's going to flow into life. From your heart, whatever that attitude is, whatever that perspective is, whatever's been written in there is going to flow like a spring of water into areas of life. All right, that what flows from the heart is going to flow into your marriage. What's in your heart is going to flow into your relationships. It's going to flow into your work. It's going to flow into all the areas of life. Luke 6:45.
The good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good. And the evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of his heart, the mouth speaks.
Okay, so again, the heart attitude matters. That's what this scripture reminds us about. The heart attitude is the basis for favorable ministry. You want favorable ministry? You want to make good impact on people? You want to leave a lasting impression, the sweet aroma? It's going to flow from what's in your heart. Because when the good things are in here, when the right things are written in here, it's going to flow out into your ministry. So favorable ministry starts with the right heart attitude. Let's think secondly then about heart preaching. So when the heart attitude is right, again, the words you speak are going to now be anointed with the right things. Right? Our scripture there in Luke chapter 6, an evil man out of the evil treasure is going to bring forth evil. But if it's right, then the right things are going to flow out. So let's look at this. Proverbs 3 and verse 3.
Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them down on the tablet of your heart.
Okay, let not mercy and truth forsake you. Again, because Jesus had this right when he came and he had the understanding, I am here to serve. I am not here to do my own will, but the will of the Father, the will of him who sent me. That's the right heart attitude. And that's why when Jesus spoke, because he had the heart right, he could speak actually very hard truth, but it would be received. Why? Because it was anointed with mercy. Right? Think about Jesus here, the lion and the lamb, the judge and the savior. Right, he's both at work, but because the heart was right, he could say some incredibly harsh things that would be received. Right, because that is where heart preaching comes from. John 3 and verse 17.
For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved.
Okay, even though he could speak hard truth, godly truth, you know, stuff that's hard to receive, hard to swallow. He can challenge the woman at the well, right? Call her out on things. He could speak to people and deal with those sin issues. But again, it was heart preaching. He did not come to condemn, but to save. So he could speak truth, anointed with mercy. It was who he was. So, the idea about truth and mercy then is balance. Balance. God is a God of balance. Right? When someone is imbalanced, it's because they're leaning too much on something else. Right? I've seen pastors that have motivated their disciples by guilt or fear. Right? Hey, I didn't see a serious man this morning. How can you come to serious man? You're telling me you want to do something for God, but you can't even show up at 7 a.m.? Right, that's guilt. Or fear. I didn't make it, so now I don't want pastor to see me. I'll tell you, that's an imbalance. That's an unhealthy approach, and that's a bad heart. But the idea of balance here is when our heart is balanced, when mercy and truth have been written on our hearts, we're going to declare a balanced message of truth and mercy. Mercy, the idea here, the word has numbers of ideas, love. Our message will be filled with the love of God. Loyalty, a loving devotion, steadfast love, kindness. Right? Let me let you understand something here. Kindness is not a weakness. Some people might misinterpret your kindness for weakness, but it's okay to be kind to people. Right? In fact, it's favorable to be kind to people. So here, this is mercy. That's what's at work in you. Truth. Truth has the idea of faithfulness. Has the idea of exactly what it means. Is God is a God of truth, the author of truth, right? And so here, these things, when they're getting at work in our hearts, when those things have been written, they'll flow out of us and our message will be received. I'll tell you, I have preached events in my ministry where there were some hardcore sinners there. Totally ungodly, absolutely ungodly people, right? People who've done some hard things in life, but receive a balanced message. I have preached events where there were backsliders in the audience. Backsliders expecting, you know, me to make heads roll and be harsh and be hard and be brash. But a balanced message they could receive. I've sat and I've preached events where rebels were in the crowd. Right? And some people, they find that their opportunity to jam people. Right? But I've seen them repent. Right? I preached a sermon one time, and in my mind, right, I'm thinking this guy was a rebel, and long story short, I'm thinking in my mind, wow, he showed up for today. Right? It was just a sermon on just morals. He's there with his for an event, but he's there with his unsaved girlfriend that they're living together, right? This is just one of those sermons. But in the sermon, because the heart is right, came to the altar, came to me afterward and said, I have been so evil and rebellious against the fellowship since my family left. But God dealt with me today to let it go, and I left it at the altar. Yeah, that was my reaction. Wow. Right? Why? Because when the heart is right, God can get involved. I've sat and preached the events like this, and again, it was balanced. A balanced heart gives a balanced message. A balanced heart has a balanced approach in life. Right? And I have sat under the opposite of what I've just talked about. Imbalance. I've sat under the preacher that found it an opportunity to bash people, to jam people. And it was not helpful. In fact, it was harmful and left consequential damage. It left a negative impact. And here, this is heart preaching. When the heart's right, the attitude's right, the message will be right. The message will be balanced. It will be healthy. So let's close. Let's think about finding favor. The blessing of this ministry approach, is favor. Right? That's the point. That is what we want with people, is favor. Proverbs 3 and verse 4.
And so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man.
Okay, so find favor, and so find favor. In other words, because of a balanced heart, because of truth and mercy flowing from you, you're going to find favor and high esteem. Number one, you're going to find favor, it says here, with God. With God. God blesses a right heart. Because here, as a representative, every single one of us, we represent Jesus Christ. People cannot see God, but they can see God at work in you. At least they should. Right? And so here, when someone as his representative, or as 2 Corinthians 5 puts it, as an ambassador, his ambassador, when you capture the heart of God, truth and mercy, when you capture this balanced ministry, the balance of who God is, right? God is truth and mercy. Psalms talks about the cross being a cross of truth and mercy. Right? And so here, when you capture that, God says, I can anoint that. I can bless that. I can help that. I can turn hearts through this ministry. You'll find favor with God. Secondly, then, is you'll find favor with people. Very important to get favor with people, because what happens when you earn some favor or credibility from people, you earn their ear. They're going to listen to you. Right? They're going to, when they're able to listen, then they're going to be impacted. When someone is impacted, they're likely to respond. In other words, you're going to find success. Success. I have seen, because of this ministry, people saved. People that said they would never get saved. People that said they would never step foot in my church. Radically converted. Radically saved. I've seen people restored. I've seen them restored in their salvation, restored in life. I've seen relationships healed because of things like this. Because you earn favor with people when mercy and truth are written on your heart. Connected to success, then, is you're going to have a good reputation. You know, it's good to have a good reputation in your city, in your area. It's good to have a good reputation with families. Right? And remember, wherever you're at, you never know where you'll be serving later. Right? And you want a good reputation. When I got launched into Santa Fe, it tripped me out how many people were connected from Prescott in Santa Fe. People I had no clue. Like, really? Santa Fe? That? And then going from Santa Fe to Rochester, I'm going to tell you, my reputation went ahead of me. And there was people connected from Prescott, from the New Mexico area, in Rochester, New York. The reputation went ahead of me. Verse 4, the New Living Translation says, then you will find favor with both God and people, and you will earn a good reputation. Right? And can you imagine if I was an absolute jerk 8 years ago here? Coming back, people, oh great, here comes this jerk again. Right? Right, but keeping that truth and mercy. You know, I've had people, like, in talking about this good reputation, I've actually had people vouch for me because of this type of ministry. When I took over one of the churches that I pastored, there were two couples that were engaged when I came in to get married. The problem is that, at the time, I don't really know anything. You're stepping into something fresh. They're wanting to get married. I do Jesus people weddings. That's what I do. I don't do weddings outside of Jesus people weddings. I don't officiate weddings. That's me. That's my personal preference. Okay? And it's actually very helpful if you would do that, right? It helps you later. But nonetheless, these two couples, even though they were in the church, and even though two of them were church kids, like they grew up in that church, they did not want Jesus people wedding. Why? Because 30 years ago, my parents got married, the pastor preached a sermon and offended our entire family. They haven't come to church since. We know how these Jesus people weddings go. So long story short, I said, look, I'm not gonna preach a wedding outside of the church, but you're welcome to Get married. Get it right. Live for God. Let's move forward. They wound up getting married outside of the church, et cetera, et cetera. But then, as time passed, and they saw two Jesus people weddings that I officiated, and they saw people get saved in those weddings, and the ministry of truth and mercy. There was future couples later, convert couples that came in that wanted to get married, that they said, do a church wedding. Right? Those who didn't want it now say, do a church wedding. Why? It's going to be better. We regret not doing this. We regret not doing it that way. Why? Because that comes back to truth and mercy. This type of ministry is going to give you a good reputation. I've done multiple funerals for families, and because of this type of ministry, I have been able to see fruit to this day. To this day, just in coming back to Prescott, this was probably back in March or April, but a family member that I did a funeral for in one of the churches I pastored had gotten saved at this funeral. They prayed a prayer at that funeral. And to this day, when I saw them, they referenced that service. They referenced that day. They reminded me that they prayed that morning and they locked into a church in their area. Why? Because of truth and ministry. They had been backslidden for a long time at that funeral, but now they're safe. Why? Because truth and mercy. And you know, this really what sparked this was finding favor. What sparked this sermon was, you know, just officiating a funeral just this past weekend. And in officiating that, making connections with people, being there and getting reports from backsliders, people that have left the church, they've left salvation, they've left the fellowship, coming and saying thank you, coming and expressing their gratitude. Right? Why? Because truth and mercy. This is how you're going to find favor. Get the heart right, and from the heart will flow the right things. Very good. Okay, any questions on finding favor? Yeah, Steve.
Any insight? If you're kind of working, I mean, I understand working on a blank slate is one thing, but like, I have a lot of family members that they were part of a rebel church, so there's been a lot of things sown into them about the fellowship, about me. So I feel like I'm kind of been half working on that, and so I still have a burden for my family.
Absolutely. So, just keep praying for them, man. You know, that prayer is the best thing. You know, I pray, like I said, weddings, funerals, dedications, baptism. You know, family's going to be coming in. I'm praying for them. God, soften their heart, whatever their background is. Right? Whether they're, influenced by a rebel church or whatever, a rebel pastor, or just a bad situation, and they got caught in the crossfire. God is faithful. And when the heart's right, like you said, that burden is from God. He's going to help you with that. You keep praying for them. Absolutely. You keep contending for them.
Pastor, what's the difference between doing favor with people and pleasing people? Making sure that...
Yeah. Yeah, so, okay, that's a good question. So what's the difference between pleasing people or getting favor? So the difference is your message, right? Truth never leaves. It's truth and mercy. You're never, compromising. Right? And really, even in that conversation, just for example, it would have been easy to please a couple in a church that I knew I need favor, right? But it wasn't just, no, absolutely not. Right? How I approached it, it was with mercy. It was with explanation. It was giving the why. And it was praying for them. And so I didn't change my stance to please them. I maintain truth. So truth never leaves. Yeah.
Stepping into ministry, you mentioned that a lot of ahead of time, you don't automatically know how you're going to react. So how do we now, where we're at in life, not pastoring, diagnose whether there's those hard issues going on?
Yeah, well, by looking at how you react now, right? How do you react now when you're in marriage conflict, right? Marriage is a great indicator of what's really going on in your heart, right? So that would be the first. How do you react in conflict right now, right? It would be great to say that if, you know, everybody in ministry just functions so well, everybody just helps and serves one another, you know, there's never any arguments or bickering, right? But when those conflicts arise, how do you respond, right? How do you respond to challenge? How do you respond to, you know, we could call it persecution, but right, someone who would come against you, maybe on your job, they know you're saved, and, you know, how do you navigate those, right? Your response is an indicator of what's happening in your heart. So yeah, that would be a way to do that now. And if there's harmful things or if there are negative things, then you can address that. No, that needs to change. That needs to be fixed. Yeah, nice.
So you were kind of talking about having the right heart gives you favor with preaching, but it does also play out witnessing and pulling altar calls?
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely. So, when the heart is right, and it's not about you or your pride or, right, taking to the door director your, you know, all of your convert cards, right, when it's about people. Right. People can tell when someone is fake. People can tell. People can tell when you're trying to sell them Jesus or when you really want to win them to Jesus. And so, you know, it's one of those things that it will play out. Then in your altar call, you know, one of the best indicators of this, of exactly what you're talking about, is when we did our super fairy tale in New York. We did it all up and down the Northeast. And I would tell whoever was preaching, whether it was one of my guys or whether it was one of the churches we were going to support, the pastor or one of their guys, I'd say, look, this is a family fun event. Your altar call needs to be short and to the point. And it was great because, you know, we do face painting, we do balloon artistry. They've just watched every Disney princess and Marvel superhero. The kids are amped. Everyone's hyped. They want the characters back out. Right? So imagine this room full of families. We say we want revival with families. Wait till you get about 250 people gathered, families, right? That they're not churched. And they don't tell their kid, shh. You watch a preacher lose his cool. That's a great recipe. Right? Because what happens is it becomes about you. Hey, you're supposed to be listening to me. Well, you're gonna need more than what you're bringing, right? You're going to need anointing. And so, absolutely, it'll play out in your witnessing and right now your altar calls. When you have heart preaching, when right things are written, that's what's going to flow out. And that's when God's, right? Find favor with God. He'll anoint it. And let your words not just fall to the ground, but penetrate into the heart.
It's kind of not too off topic, but if you want to preach and you're excited for it and you find yourself all the time just like, man, I can't wait to do this. I can't wait to preach all the calls and Bible studies and everything, you know, and you're willing to do it and you feel like you have a heart to do it, how do you kind of test yourself? Because at the same time, in some ways, I feel like I can't assure myself that I'm doing it for the right reasons. And everything in me says, you know, you're doing this for God, you're doing this for God. But how do you kind of like... I've heard people tell me to test my faith, like, you know, fast with nobody knowing or stuff like that, just to test that you're doing this for the right reasons. How do you do that when it comes to preaching and wanting to do this with the right heart? How can you test, you know, do I even have a right heart? Because, you know, obviously you can tell yourself, oh, you're doing it for the right reasons, but, you know,
yeah,
you know, flesh and spirit, you know, differs. How do okay. I make do you, sure I'm doing this for
that? Yeah. Do you have a burden for souls? Right? When you have a burden for souls, it motivates witnessing. Someone who never witnesses and tells me they have a burden for souls, I'm sorry, I don't believe you. Right? a burden, and it initiates action. So that would be a great test, right? Because pastoring, especially pioneering, right? We don't go and proselytize other churches, right? We don't go pull church people to build our church. It's not what we do. We go and look for converts. So if you're going to go pioneer, and you did it for the conference applause, right? When all 3,000 people cheer you and your name's in the, your face and your name is, you know, blown up. Well, you got your reward. And that's it. You had your moment. Now you've got to go and do the hard work, right?
Yeah.
But if the burden's not there, it's not going to all of a sudden be there because you got announced. So that's a good test. Do I have a burden for souls? Do I have a burden to witness? The people that I pray with, do I have a burden to follow up and invest in them? Right? That's what motivates us. So that would be a great indicator. Do I have a burden for people? Yeah.
What do you say to people who say they're going to wait until they get a burden to do anything about, you know, their calling?
Yeah.
I don't have the right motive, so I'm not going to do good or do what I'm supposed to do.
Yeah. To that, I answer with when Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So sometimes you won't get the burden until you take the action, right? Wherever you put what's important to you, the treasure, time, investment, finances, you know, et cetera, then the heart's going to follow.
So, like, if someone has a lack of love for people, you know, basically all of that, it just has to be intentional.
Yeah.
Once you do that, then that'll
absolutely
grow.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, and personal experience, I was involved in a band, you know, playing for 180, probably for a good solid 2 years, our band, before I made a commitment. I'm going to be on every outreach. And our band made a commitment. Even if there was an event on our practice night, we were either going to practice early and support the event, or if it wouldn't work out, we were just going to go to the event, and we were going to witness. And I'll tell you, that bled into our band and the effectiveness, but it also just personally gave me a burden for people, right? Where it was before, it was just kind of like, yay, people got saved, how exciting. But now it was like, I developed a hunger to evangelize. I began to look forward to going and outreaching, you know, and so... So yeah, where you put your treasure, the heart will fall. Yeah.
Okay, so I got a question. Say you have that burden, and but there's maybe you've come across people that have had this problem, maybe not, I don't know. Certainly you could have heard about it. But you have a burden for souls, but you also want balance. You're not about lights, you're not about any message you have, but the message of Jesus Christ and what the cross is. Right? But the opportunities you have had in the past are to testify your testimony.
Mm-hmm.
You get to a point, at least I have, where I don't want to talk about me. I don't want to talk about my... It's a powerful thing. It's a tool that can be used, but it's about Jesus. And I don't want to glorify who I was. I understand we can tell who we were and in the transition and give glory to God, but I want to preach this.
Right, yeah.
I don't want to talk about me 500 times.
Right.
Right? So how do you get from that to that when, you know, every time your opportunity comes, tell us what God did for you. Well, that's great, but I don't want it today.
Right.
I want to tell you what God did for you.
Yeah.
I want to tell you how he saved you.
Yeah, I always...
You know, how do you transit? Because then you hit kind of a roadblock. You're checking your... I don't want the glory.
Right.
I don't want it to be about me.
Yeah.
Right?
I fill my testimony with the word of God.
Yeah.
That's what I do. Whenever I witness, you know, or just declare to people the gospel, I fill it with the word of God. And when you fill it with the word of God, really, that's where the anointing comes from, is the word of God. And so when you feel it, pack it, whether it's witnessing and you're telling someone about your change, like you're talking about a moment to testify, pack it with the word of God. And that's what puts the emphasis on Jesus.
God saved me, and then just go right into it.
Exactly. Yeah. There you go. Yeah. Yeah, Daniel.
Did you say, like, our fellowship, we come from a place where we're so, like, we're dogmatic about not being like the Christian world that's, there on the other side of the
Well, yeah, I think it'd be better to say it can be a tendency with anyone, right? You know, whether in our fellowship or not, but you know, you look at the history of Prescott and Pastor Mitchell, Pastor Greg, and any of those tendencies are not there in them. So, you know, that's coming from people's own hearts, right? Not necessarily anything to do with the fellowship or our standards or our, you know, methods. That's people's own bad hearts. That has never come from, really not just Prescott and Pastor Mitchell or Pastor Greg, but any of our major leaders. Good. Any questions? Very good. Well, a good exercise in finding favor is you can do this now, right? In your witness, in business, in your job, etc. You can put this to practice today. And, you know, when we have church, you know, sometimes we get in our zone at church and, you know, find a way to make someone feel welcome today, right? Find a way to maybe meet someone new today. Introduce yourself, right? Be a blessing. Very good.